Think back to the last time that you had something go totally differently than you had pictured it in your mind. What were your feelings when things went that way? Were you disappointed, frustrated, resentful? Today, Neil and I are talking about expectations and why Neil says they are resentments in the making, and what we try to do instead to offset these results and find more happiness in life. What is it that you say about expectations?
It's not what I say. I think it's what I've heard said.
It's always like some old timer drops something in a 12-step meeting and then
everyone else gets credited for it.
Nobody ever knows where these things come from, but they sound really wise.
And I'm not going to try and take credit for it, but it's expectations are resentments in the making or something along those. Expectations are premeditated resentments. I mean, there's a lot of different ways.
I haven't heard that variation.
Ways of saying it, but basically, yeah.
Expectations are resentments in the making.
Run into that.
Yeah. So this is something that I've been thinking about, and it's for whatever reason it's been on my mind. And so you had some thoughts to start off when we kind of chatted about this before we started recording. Tell me about some of your expectations in life and what has gone the way you expected and what hasn't and all of that.
I can't help but think of this Saturday Night Live skit with Chris Farley where he's like this motivational speaker and he's like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And the kid's like, I want to be an actor, you know? And he's like, you're not going to amount to anything. Like, and it's really funny the way he does it. But basically this idea that I think we have, or I have had, so many expectations of what my life would look like. I graduated high school, went on a mission. It was, you know, great. Learned a lot of amazing things. Felt like I became a better person and kind of became, you know, an adult or a man, so to speak, and came back. And it's like, all right, let me set up my life. I've learned all these great principles of the gospel and feel like I'm ready to, you know, charge ahead and go conquer the world. And I think that it's amazing and good to set goals, but I think I had so many expectations of what was going to happen in my life. I'm like, I'm going to graduate, you know, from college. I'm going to go through college in 4 nice, just concise years, maybe even a little less than that. Get into my career. You know, I kind of took me a minute to figure it out, but I'm like, all right, I'm going to do medical sales. And that's going to be my career. I had all of these expectations on lifestyle and money, and I'm going to, you know, make a bunch of money and all this stuff and just life in general. And not that all that was bad. I think there were a lot of really, actually really good goals. And that's something like goals and vision have always been a driving force. But I think where it became a problem for me was when those things start to not happen in the way that I had expected or wanted, then that resentment can come in. If there's such, you know, for me, there was just such a hang up on like pounding on the table, so to speak, and saying, no, it was supposed to be this way. I was supposed to graduate sooner. Why am I taking, you know, 2 extra years graduating from college? I was supposed to be married at 24 or 25. Why am I 26, 27, still single? But I mean, I guess we met at 20 when I was 26, but but still just that concept of like these expectations that I had of how my life was going to go. And then when it doesn't go that way, then there can be resentments. And then depending on how I dealt with those resentments, that can either turn me to God and kind of surrender and like look to him and say, hey, what do you want me to do? Or more often than not, sadly, what happened with me, or I think what happens with people is turning away and getting bitter and saying, this didn't happen. I'm angry. I'm mad. And being frustrated and being resentful.
Right. So what do you think the better alternative is?
I'm learning this. I don't think I've learned how to perfectly do this, but this has come from the 12 steps and being in recovery. But specifically the 12 steps is this idea of praying for knowledge of God's will and the power to carry it out. Mm-hmm. Because when I really think about it, anything that I am going to come up with is not going to be as good as what God would come up with. Like it's kind of another old timer phrase that is not mine, came from somebody in a meeting, is if you got everything that you wanted in life, you would shortchange yourself for what God has in store for you.
Yeah.
And so based off of that principle and that concept, it's surrendering to God's will and saying, I've got to take action. Obviously, I got to wake up and say, hey, I'm going to take these actions. This is what I feel pulled to, or these are my desires, right? There's agency there. It's not like I just don't do anything. And I do the best that I can. And then I bring that to God and ask him, is this in line with your will? Or do you want me to do something different? And maybe there are some things that don't matter, but I think a lot of times it does matter. And there are things that God would have us do. And I feel like when I've done that, sometimes there's a completely different angle, message, or direction that God reveals to me or pushes me in that I never would have thought of. But a lot of times it's just, I'm so caught up in my own self, my own ego, that I'm like, just keep pushing the agenda for what I want.
Yeah. We've talked about this before, and I know you don't love this term, but there's a term that Stephen King uses when he writes his books called Kill Your Darlings.
It just sounds so comforting.
But here's the point of Kill Your Darlings. It's sometimes when you think something's going to go a certain way, or you set your heart on something and you keep working for it and you keep hoping that it's going to turn out, whether that's a relationship or a project or a business or whatever, sometimes it comes to a point where you have to say, this just isn't working, or this isn't what I thought it was going to be, or maybe we need to choose a new path. And that's where he says, sometimes you have to kill your darlings, because you put so much work or effort into, like you were saying before, a relationship. And I'm not talking about like your relationship with your children or your parents, but like a dating relationship where, you know, sometimes I think people will just hold on because they just want it to work so bad, or they have these expectations that it's going to finally turn out to be something and it's just not, or that's just not God's will, or it's just not meant to be. And so I think about that when we say expectations versus surrendering to the Lord. But I also keep thinking about, so this is a really lame example, but an example nonetheless. So every time I've had a baby, I've kind of picked like a series to watch, to binge watch, because when you have a newborn and you're nursing and whatever, you have a lot of time to sit and watch something. So a few years ago, well, now it's been 6 years because Lila's six. For whatever reason, I decided to watch Heart of Dixie. And if for some reason you're in the middle of that series or you're about to start it, just skip ahead for like 30 seconds to a minute. But because I don't want to ruin it for you. But there is a scene in the very first episode where it teases that two of the main characters have an attraction and that they may end up together at some point, right? And for some reason, I fixated on that and I wanted that to happen. And I watched this show. I didn't even like the show very much. I really didn't even like Heart of Dixie that much, but I just kept watching it because I was waiting for these two main characters to show up. And at the very bitter end, at the very last episode of the final season, they don't end up together. And I was so mad. I was like, I just wasted like four seasons worth of my life on this show and they still didn't end up together. And it seriously felt like such a waste. And I felt like such a fool, wasting so much of my time.
All of your dreams dashed basically to pieces in one
on
episode.
These like friends of mine in Heart of Dixie that didn't end up together. But seriously, I think sometimes life can go that way where maybe you have an idea or expectation of a job going a certain way or a business idea or even like a garden. You know, I remember one time planting a garden in our backyard and my mom saw it after we planted it and was like, you just planted that in the worst possible place. This is super shady. It's not going to get any sun. It's not going to grow. And I was like, no, it'll be fine. And sure enough, just because I know nothing about gardening and she's been gardening her whole life, she was totally right. And it took me a while to really accept, okay, this really is never going to grow any of the tomatoes or the plants that I wanted or vegetables. So I might as well just dig it up and be done with it. But yeah, I think that's one big part of expectations is knowing when to just say, okay, this isn't meant to be, or this isn't working out.
Well, and I think the main thing for me and what I think is really important is, as long as it's under the direction of God, I think that with trust in his timing and his plan, I mean, I think that it can be the type of deal where I have quit, and we did another episode on things that you are like regrets that you have. Mm-hmm. And when it's not under God, it's just me being frustrated with something or me just quitting or giving up on something. It's not inspired. It's not like a, hey, like a pause. I think there is a big difference there between that feeling of positive inspiration or love or like the flash of an idea or intelligence coming into your mind. Like these are the types of things that are described in scripture or that I've felt at different times when I'm making decisions that are good and I know feel like I'm onto something versus I'm upset, I'm frustrated, this didn't go the way that I wanted it, therefore forget it. I'm going to go, you know, do something else or I'm going to whatever. And I think of some of the worst decisions I've made in my life have been in that zone or in that line of thinking. But some of the best decisions that I've made in my life are when it's like feeling that inspiration and feeling like it's, I'm trusting in God, I'm following him. Maybe I don't understand, but there's kind of enlightenment or there's ideas or intelligence where it's like, yes, this is feeling good and this is feeling right. And even if it is the type of deal where it's walking away from something, but I can tell that I'm walking towards something better that God would have me pursue. So I think it's an important distinction to make.
But I think you have that personality where I think some people do and some people don't. I don't necessarily. I have probably the opposite problem where I have a hard time letting go of things if I've decided that
I'm more of a quitter all around.
No, I'm not calling you a quitter, but I think that is your tendency to be like, you know what?
Frustrated.
Forget it. Yeah, I'm just going to walk away from this. Where I have the opposite problem where, you know, sometimes if I mean, we literally were talking about that this morning with making some changes in our business that I was like, no, this is my baby. I have grown this part of our business to be this way and I don't want to let it go. But either way, I think the solution is just what you're saying, like prayerfully considering that, letting God be part of that decision. We have a friend who talks about let God be your business partner. And I love that because he's never going to tell you to do something that isn't the best thing for you or your family or your business or whatever. Okay, now I want to ask you about your expectations in marriage. And ooh. Yes, going into marriage, what your expectations were versus maybe reality and what you've learned over the years of being married to
you. No, absolutely. It's a great question because I especially for anyone who's in that realm where you're single and that it's a hard time. It's a great time of life. It's an amazing time of life, but it's really hard. You're putting yourself out there constantly. You're getting rejected or you're rejecting other people and that feels horrible. You're just getting wrenched around and there's no like solidarity to your life. You're kind of like fluid, like, all right, well, I could do this. I could do that. Maybe I'll try that. But I think for me, the expectation, that was really something that was from the, you know, as long as I could remember, really important to me. And there's so much emphasis put on marriage and marrying the right person and how that relationship, and there's expectations that you see from the world, from cinema and movies and romantic comedies and stuff that you watch.
You're
like,
wrong.
Oh my goodness, like, yeah. This is how I'm supposed to feel. Like, these are I should have these romantic feelings all of the time. And it don't should just be wonderful. It's marital all the time, marital bliss, never a non-amazing moment. But
non-amazing moment.
But no, I think that I wasn't so ignorant to think that there wouldn't be challenges or it wouldn't be hard or there wouldn't be disagreements or I'm like, I know it's going to be tough. And just relationships in general. But I think that I had the expectation of how I think where I was flawed in a lot of ways was expecting someone else would change me and make me better. Like they're going to come in and kind of be
the perfect
savior, so to speak. You know, I don't want to be too blasphemous with that term, but they're going to make me into this great person. And I'm going to feel so much better about myself because of this person. And I think it was a really codependent type of approach to have. And newsflash, that never happened. I felt great in, you know, relationships or whatever, but there was always like, oh no, this isn't working or that's not working or this doesn't feel right. I think there is divine guidance. I absolutely believe in that in relationships, but it's hard with the emotional component. It's so hard to like tell. And is that just me and my bias or my feeling, or is this like God speaking to me? I don't know. But I had those expectations for sure. And I think it kept me single for a long time. And then I think that's something that you helped me with was like, look, life is life. It's hard. It's challenging. Relationships are difficult or tough, and that's okay. And I think that, you know, as we dated and we faced just from the get-go, just really tough situations that we had to work through, I had a better understanding of how that worked. And then I saw how we worked together through those challenges. And it gave me a greater understanding and a greater appreciation of how a relationship works and the realities of it. But also there's something more than just kind of a whimsical romantic comedy type scenario beyond that. But yeah, that's kind of, I don't know, just some thoughts I had.
I think the great irony in, it's similar to what you said about expecting that, you know, someone would come in and complete me or be that like it's perfect.
A classic line.
Yeah, you complete me. It's just such a lie. I had this expectation, and I'd been married before when we got married. So I think I expected certain things would be hard, and we dated for 2 years. So there were very few surprises when we got married. But I do think in, you know, when I was still kind of in my 20s, late 20s, whatever, and when we first got married, I had this expectation that you and I were going to be this kind of unit, like we would be one, and the things that were important to you would be important to me, and we would grow together, and we would kind of work as this like unified husband-wife couple, power couple of kind of meshing into one person. And the great irony with that is that I feel like our marriage finally became what it was intended to be, and we were able to grow into being our best selves when we finally kind of broke apart as far as that codependency like you're talking about, and we kind of worked on our own things, and we both worked our steps individually, and then it was like we were able to come back together as much more whole people rather than doing the dance of when you have a good day, I have a good day. And when you have a bad day, then I have a bad day and vice versa. And I think that that's been a huge learning experience for me to go from the expectation of, oh, when you find the one, then you become one. You and that person become one person with one object or motive in life. And you're walking side by side in life on one path. And it's just not like that. You know, I think that for us, our marriage has been so much healthier as we've just been able to kind of own our own stuff and work on it and then come to each other as much more whole people, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that, I totally agree with everything you're saying. I think of that. Somebody showed me this, and I don't know if it was a recovery or some, you know, class or some, but it's the diagram. Like there's like the marriage diagram, and there's, you know, it's a triangle, and on one corner, you're on one corner of the triangle, your spouse is on the other, and then God's at the top.
This is, that's so funny that you love that.
Do you hate this?
I don't hate it, but it's exactly what, when I would see that, because I would see it all the time, like in seminary or institute or whatever. And I would always, that's where my mind would go is, oh yeah, if you have a good marriage and you pick the right person, then the longer you're married and the harder you work and the more enmeshed you are, the closer you're going to get to that top of the pyramid where you're just like,
well, no, you're missing the most important part.
I know, I know.
God is the top of the pyramid. And so as you both work toward God, you come closer together.
I know.
So
I know that that's like the point of that.
But you saw it differently.
But I envisioned that literally as the more righteous you are, the more perfect you are, the more you are like getting close to being one person rather than being divided or separate. Or
how funny.
Like, isn't that funny?
That's crazy. That's always how my mind. Two people can look at that and get like, but it makes sense what you're saying.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I get it. But it's like, I totally didn't even think of it that way. but again, expectations. I mean, that's a great example of like
your expectation versus mine.
I'm like, well, no, I see that this way, which is I try and get closer to God, and then as a result, that helps pull me closer to you, and as you're doing the same. So,
and I do think that's a natural
I think it's accurate.
That's, yeah, I think that's a natural consequence of both of us prioritizing the right things in our life, like really caring about our spirituality, our scripture study, and our prayer and, you know, individual prayer. And we had really great advice once from a bishop when Neil was kind of more in his struggling with addiction phase. And he asked us all these questions, like, do you guys go to the temple? Do you read your scriptures? Do you pray together? And do you remember this? And he said, are you reading your scriptures? And I was like, yeah, we read together every night. And he was like, well, how about individually? And I was like, well, yeah, I try to, like, in the morning. And Neil tries to do that too. And do you remember what he said?
I can't remember.
He said, this just really stuck out in my mind. He was like, if you read the scriptures together, that's great. Gold star, that's going to help your marriage. But he said, I care way more, 10 times more about you studying the scriptures individually. Like, your individual scripture study needs to be everything. And you need to prioritize
that.
You don't remember that?
No.
It was Bishop Galland.
Oh,
and he was like, you have to do, like, I want that to be your, you never skip that. It's every morning.
No, which is,
which set it up that way.
Is like, as far as my dailies go, like what I do spiritually and in recovery, that's one of the big ones is like, I have to hit that one to really engage in.
And I'm the same. I have to read the Book of Mormon every morning in order to be my best self. And the days that I kind of forget about it and I don't remember till later in the day or the end of the day, I feel off all day long. I feel a difference for sure. So in that regard, I do think that you can, you know, grow closer together. As you grow close to God, you get more aligned with His will. So you are kind of on more parallel paths.
I'm just waiting for the quote that I know you're gonna quote in this episode, the Gordon B. Hinckley quote, which I think is like just such a great. Well, this is a quote that you said early on when we were dating. I remember we would have these conversations and expectations and stuff, and I remember you reading me this quote. I think you sent it to me. I think you like emailed it to me.
Okay, that's funny.
While we were dating,
we should pull up some of those early emails. They'd probably be really funny. So actually, President Hinckley quoted Jenkins Lloyd Jones. So it wasn't President Hinckley's original words. President Hinckley was a journalist. I don't know if you know that, but that was his job. And he worked at the Deseret News for years and years and years, which is like the biggest news publication in Utah. So he clipped a column from the Deseret News and loved this quotation. And he would quote it a lot from Jenkins Lloyd Jones. And he says, anyone who imagines that bliss is normal is going to waste a lot of time running around shouting that he has been robbed. Most putts don't drop. Most beef is tough. Most children grow up to be just people. Most successful marriages require a high degree of mutual toleration. Most jobs are more often dull than otherwise. Life is like an old-time rail journey. Delays, sidetracks, smoke, dust, cinders, and jolts, interspersed only occasionally by beautiful vistas and thrilling bursts of speed. The trick is to thank the Lord for letting you have the ride. I love that. Because isn't that life? Isn't that just the way life goes? You have these few moments here and there where things really are dramatically beautiful and intense and such a glorious moment that you'll never forget it. But most of life is just life.
It's pretty standard. But I think at the same time, like, because I mean, I've suffered with that a lot where it's like, oh, I'll be happy when, you know, if this expectation is met or that, or if my life is this way, then I'm going to feel, I'm going to feel a certain way. But the older that I get and the more experiences I have and in talking to people who really live fulfilling lives, I think they have such a gift for appreciating the small things and really being grateful, grateful for what they have currently real time in their life and just looking around. And when I can get into this zone, it's like, man, I can feel it. Sometimes I have to stop and like talk to myself and say, and explain my surroundings. Like, wow, right now, like I'm sitting in my house, I'm sitting across from a beautiful woman who I am married to. I've got, these four beautiful children, I have to do these things. And when I really kind of say that out loud or think it out loud, all of a sudden I'm like, I'm blown away with how amazing life is. But a lot of times the struggle is day to day is just looking at what I don't have.
future expectations or...
Or looking at the past and saying, man, I really wanted this to happen in my life and it never happened. Mm-hmm. How frustrating, you know? And I think it just, it's perspective. It's kind of a classic glass is half full or half empty, depending on how you look at it. Pretty straightforward stuff, but it absolutely is accurate and I think totally true.
I think one other thing that is huge with expectations is your expectations of others. And I think that it's so easy to go into certain situations expecting that people will be grateful or people will be excited about something or
like giving gifts.
Yeah, exactly. Giving gifts or even just showing up to an event or showing up to a gathering and thinking it's going to go a certain way or certain people are going to act a certain way. And I think that when you remove a lot of those expectations, then you're just happy with however it turns out versus going into it expecting that certain things will happen or certain results of, I mean, you could apply that to anything from expecting that people will help you clean up after an event or expecting that when you give a gift to someone, like you said, that they're going to be super excited about it or expecting that, I mean, I think we've done that a lot in business where sometimes we've given gifts to people expecting almost that they'll be grateful or loyal or whatever. And then people are just people, you know, they're not necessarily going to react exactly the way that you maybe had hoped. And really the key of giving a gift in the right way is to have no expectations because then it's not a gift, then it's coercion. So yeah, I think that I have learned to what I do when I'm going into, especially if I'm going into a stressful situation, if there's potential drama or feelings or emotions that might get heightened, I try really hard to go into a situation and remove any selfishness, any expectations that I have of how things might go or how someone might react. And I just try really hard to think about how can I make the other person who I'm spending time with or the event that I'm going to, how can I leave that better? How can I make that person feel better? Or how can I make it about them? Or how can I give of myself in the best way possible? And then it's on the other person to accept it in whatever way they choose to. But you remove that expectation of, I want it to go this way. And if it doesn't, I'm going to be bummed. Because then you're just setting yourself up for failure or resentment.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, all of this reminds me of, I think one concept that goes hand in hand with all of this is acceptance. So accepting, especially with others and our own our expectations of others. But I love this, and this is from the Alcoholics Anonymous, the big book, Alcoholics Anonymous. It's a story that's just amazing about this guy who finds freedom from alcohol through recovery and working the 12 steps. But this is kind of something that he learned along the way. He says, acceptance is the answer to all my problems today. When I'm disturbed, it is because I find some person, place, thing, or situation, some fact of my life unacceptable to me. And I can find no serenity until I accept that person, place, thing, or situation as being exactly the way it is supposed to be at this moment. Nothing, absolutely nothing, happens in God's world by mistake. Until I could accept my alcoholism, I could not stay sober. Unless I accept life completely on life's terms, I cannot be happy. I need to concentrate not so much on what needs to be changed in the world as on what needs to be changed in me and in my attitudes. I just love that quote. And I think that when I understand it from that point of view, and it just takes a lot of trust in God, that if I'm trying to align my will and I'm striving to do these things in my life and turning to Him and asking for help, then things are going to line up the way that He wants them to and that are going to be in my best interest. I just need to accept that and be willing.
Yeah, I remember really having a turning point too in my journey of trying to become less codependent with being married to an addict. I used to think that anytime an addict acted on their addiction, it was kind of out of rebellion or this feels good and I'm just going to do it and I don't care. Almost like it's some intentional act to hurt others or to just be really selfish. And what I learned is kind of what you're describing here, which is most addicts are using their addiction of choice to because they don't know how to deal with life on life's terms. So when things get hard or when things get uncomfortable or they're bored or feeling lonely, then they go to that addiction to numb that thing out. And so that was helpful for me to understand that, first of all. And second of all, I think to lower my expectations of that. We got into a lot of trouble when I expected that I could tell you, promise me you'll never do this again. Or I expected that if I was sad enough or mad enough or whatever, that you would in turn react to that by saying, okay, I really am going to be done with this addiction. It just doesn't work that way. And I think with all people in all ways of life, whether it's someone who's just not really ready to take their personal health seriously yet, or a kid who is not wanting to change their mind about something, I think when you let go of expectations and trying to control others or control an outcome, you set yourself up for so much more happiness because you let go of expectations and control. And it all kind of ties into the same mindset.
Absolutely.
There's a talk called But If Not that I know you love and I love too.
Yes.
And it's from 2004. And it's basically just goes back to what we were talking about in the beginning, where it's like, if you allow God to lead you in life, you're going to be so much happier. And you can ask him for help or for guidance, or I really want this thing to happen this way. The key is, but if not. And that really is one more way of letting go of your expectations. So I think for us in our belief that we come to earth to be tested, that's really important too, because I think Heavenly Father wants us to have like a trust fall with him, right? He wants us to show him that we're willing to fully trust fall with him. And if you've ever seen that where someone like literally falls off of a stage or a platform or something and they fall to, and people are supposed to catch them. So in that talk, But If Not, it says, so there we have it. It's a test. The world is a testing place for mortal men and women. When we understand that it's all a test administered by our Heavenly Father who wants us to trust in him and to allow him to help us, we can then see everything more clearly. And I feel like as I just trust in him that I don't need to have expectations of how other people will react to things or how certain situations will go, but just I wake up every day and simplify my life into, I'm here to serve you. Whatever you want me to do today, Heavenly Father, I'm here to do it. Put me to work. Life is so much happier because then like if you have a great day and great things happen, then it's such a surprise. And if not, you're there for it. You're there to work. You're there to accept it. And for me, that's been when I'm not perfect at it and I struggle with it all the time. But when I remember to do that, life is so much better and so much happier.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think the same thing. I think shifting kind of the sails of our thought or my thought when I'm thinking in terms of my expectations and what I want out of life, I think setting goals and being clear about those goals, I mean, those are principles. Like that's proven that is truth. But I think I can get sideways when I get so fixated on what I think is correct that I'm not willing to listen to the inner voice or the spirit or what I would know as God speaking to me. If I'm shutting that out, then that's a problem. And I think that for a lot of times in my life, I've done that and it's taken me to places that I don't want to be or just to failures to where I just end up frustrated and disconnected. But when I'm willing to listen and I'm willing and open to whatever God would have me do or whatever he has in store for me, and I'm flexible enough, but at the same time, yeah, maybe I have made those goals and done my part of it and set those expectations to use my agency as a power, but I'm willing to change based on what God would have me do. It just takes life in a direction that is just magical.
And one last thing, I think the one expectation that you can have are that God's promises are always true. If there's one thing that you need to set your expectations on, it would be, for me, it would be that if God has promised me certain things, if you do this, I'll give you that. You can always take that to the bank. You can always set that expectation that, you know, if you do what he's asked you to do, that he will always give you the blessings that he's promised. So that's, for me, one of the coolest things about the gospel of Jesus Christ is knowing that it's for sure 100% always true. So I love that. And anyway, here's to making life less about expectations and more about surrender.
Absolutely.
Thanks so much for listening to Mint Arrow Messages. Make sure you follow us on Instagram at Mint Arrow. Subscribe to our Apple Podcasts and rate and review us if you like us. And to get show notes, go to mintarrow.com/podcast. And you can even sign up to get show notes emailed right to your inbox. And we'll email you every time there's a new episode.